It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we have really not had much rest due to COVID. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And Vishal, it's been a while since we podded last, and quite a lot has happened in the Premier League. But most interestingly, yes, it has happened in the direction that we expected things to happen. Because despite sowing of fortunes, we see Manchester City consolidating the position at the top of the table, which is something we foresaw coming given their recent form when we had last recorded an episode.
Yeah, I think we called it when this streak was at about 4 games in, and we said, yes, they're coming back in slowly into this and nobody's really paying attention to them right now.
And it's been 9 games since then that they have won.
Yep.
Which places them fairly comfortably at the top of the table. Followed by, of course, Vishal, Manchester United, who you had picked as so far still the pretenders and not quite the contenders that we had, or a lot of people had put them down to be. And we had made the statement saying that Manchester United looked like a team which still has to get a few things in place before they could be considered mounting a proper title challenge.
Absolutely. And I think the word is right, right? Pretenders, because the one thing that United have shown clearly over the last few weeks, especially the last 10-12 days, is one, they're not ready to really push for the title, and two, they lack the mental strength and stamina of champions, right? Because they went into the Sheffield United game and Arsenal game in both must-win situations, right? Because if you really wanted to be continue being on top of the table, if you really wanted to continue challenging City, you both were must-win games. Against Sheffield United, they were overconfident and sloppy because they tried to outplay Sheffield United, and if you've been watching United, they are quite horrible in her position, right? The only time they're effective is when they're purely on counter-attack and they don't have more than 8 to 9 touches before the goal they score, right? But tend to get clueless, and that's also playing into Sheffield United's trap, right? Because Sheffield United get to sit and organize themselves and really defend well against a United team that might lack penetration. Similarly, against Arsenal, I personally expected United to bounce back in that game. It was a massive disappointment for me because, one, Arsenal were not close to their full strength, right? They were, a couple of their players were missing before the game, and Arsenal put out a weekend squad, and United didn't really take it to them, right? I think they started well, they played the first half quite well. From the second half, they completely gave up on that game, right? And were almost happy with the 1 point that they came away with. And the more alarming stat for United is against the top six, the traditional top six club, United have only scored 1 goal against them, and that's a penalty against Spurs, which they went on to lose 6-1. So that doesn't count as well. So United, if you are really serious title contenders, one, you cannot be not showing up against big teams, and when you do play against big teams, you cannot be sitting back and playing like a team that's not meant to be playing against them. And two, how can you lose four home games by Jan? That's not again a mark of a team that's going to challenge for title, because let me clear, while you're decent away from home, that form that bubble is about to burst because you are about to visit some of the top teams away from home. So United really need to, one, either looks like they're quite content being in the top four. Looks like that was the objective, and right now at this point in time, they're looking at being second place as bonus, and that's pretty much how they're playing. So it's a mindset issue as far as I see, both from the managers and the players as well, and that needs to change, and change quite quickly if they really want to see themselves challenge the title. Because what United need to realize is this might have been a great window for them, because next season a lot of teams are going to be back up to full strength as well.
And of course, that segues us nicely into what we want to talk about. And speaking of burst bubbles, a few have burst since we again last had the pod episode. Tottenham Hotspurs have unfortunately regressed, or we could say that that's the classic Mourinho regression coming back to the state of affairs with Mourinho.
Quite heavily.
Arsenal have gone through a bit of a seesaw. But the real bubble that has burst has been Liverpool, who have gone through, I think, a couple of cycles already in terms of raising hopes up again that they might be able to actually mount a decent title defense. And that same bubble being punctured probably twice, including with back-to-back home losses and a loss last week or in the midweek to Brighton. Which brings us, Vishal, to the point, that we have already talked about this, and we talked about this literally the next episode after Liverpool won the title last season, that a title defense is not an easy job. And Liverpool's seem to be a tad overconfident, perhaps, that they would be able to
press
on the same trajectory as last season. So we'll talk about that in context of the team with which they seem to have exchanged places and predicaments as compared to last year. And that team, of course, Pep Guardiola's Manchester City, who are on quite a run and 7 points ahead of Liverpool with a game in hand. And those are the two teams that clash at Anfield on Sunday. So, your thoughts on how these teams find themselves interchanged on January 2021 as compared to where they were at in January 2020?
I think it goes back to last season, right? And I think it goes a little further behind as well. And this is where I've really grown to admire Pep Guardiola, because this is a manager who seems to, while not publicly, acknowledge his mistakes, right? And last season, he made a very, very evident mistake. Because if you remember the first season at City, where he tried to bring the tiki-taka football as it is to Man City and try and play it, he finished seventh in the league. The next season, he went on to win the league. He made a lot of corrections, right? He built a spine for that team. Similarly, last season, I think that tad bit overconfidence that you were talking about, Liverpool seeped into Manchester City, right? Where they did not have contingency plan for injuries. They just assumed that the players would be fit and would go see the season through, and paid quite a heavy price for that. So the first things that Pep Guardiola fixed this year is the basics, right? He got in good defenders. He bought in solid defenders who, if you look at Diaz, who he brought in, right? He's not a classic Manchester City defender. Yes, he can play the ball to a certain extent, but he's not a classic Man City defender, right? He is strong, he is big, he's burly, and he wins ball in the air, and he's almost not reluctant to just keep the ball when required, right? And similarly, bringing back John Stones into the team, who barely played two games last season, bringing him back into the team and making him the number one choice. While he can play the ball from the back, he again is an old school defender at its core, right? And it's showcasing, right? I think they've conceded one goal in the last 12 games, which is an amazing, amazing record if you're any manager. And that's the kind of run that leads to a title in itself, right? And that's where I think Klopp missed the trick. And Klopp should have made notes from what mistakes Man City made last year. Because let's remember, Man City were defending the title last year. And they found themselves in a similar situation that Liverpool are in right now, right? Yes, there is an injury to Van Dijk that nobody could plan for. But Klopp did know that he was letting Lovren go. And he also knew very well that Matip and Joe Gomez are very, very injury prone. At the extent or the level that Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson have been playing, there is bound to be a dip in form. And none of these players have a real world-class backup sitting with them, right? There is only that many games that you can play Milner as wing back. There's only that many games that you can play Henderson as center back. As much as he's the perfect player who will do anything for the team, it's not who he is. Fabinho, again, playing as center back. None of that is going to work in a title defense. That is, a stopgap solution is not going to win your title, and it's definitely not going to help you defend that title. And it shows, right? Liverpool suddenly don't have the coordination. The form of the top front three are dipping. They are in and out of games. There is almost no movement. The typical Liverpool movement of the football is in bursts instead of an always on phenomenon. And the whole team is struggling, right? They are tired. They seem to be jaded a little mentally. And even Klopp himself seems to be very defensive this season. Defensive not in form of tactic, but more in terms of how he is handling this entire situation. So the whole situation right now doesn't fare very well for Liverpool, doesn't reflect too well on Klopp and Liverpool right now. And I think they kind of missed the trick on this title defense and will have to revisit the drawing board this coming offseason and say, how do they actually add depth to the squad that can help them, one, not only tired challenge, but also help them defend.
And I mean, Klopp famously said after the title win last season that Liverpool are not going to defend the title, they're going to attack the title. I think he just discovered that attacking the title does not quite work the way he thinks.
Absolutely. Because that bullseye on your back is a different level of pressure, because every mistake you make is going to be dissected, is going to be looked at, is going to lead to questions from everybody under the sky, right? Because you are now champions. You are now the benchmark. So you are supposed to set the tone. And Liverpool has struggled with that. They have definitely struggled with that. And a bunch of players also, front three, maybe they need to add more new blood in there, maybe. I don't know what. But something needs to change the coming season. I don't know about this season. This season, maybe the top four might be the best case scenario, because Man City do look incredibly good. And it's very unlike Man City that they're going to drop 10 points 10 points going ahead. So it's going to be quite a challenge for Liverpool to try and challenge this City squad.
But of course, that's exactly what they will have to do come Sunday. So let's quickly just talk about the microcosm of that clash, Vishal. My point of view, I look at it as a game which, even if Liverpool were to go ahead, and of course, Liverpool have nothing to lose. They could always probably pull off a great result. But even if they do, it does not alter significantly the state of the title race.
Not really. Because one City had that game in hand, right? That's a massive advantage at this point in time. Liverpool need to. I think Klopp is a great manager when he has the frame of mind of a challenger and not necessarily a champion, right? And he needs to go back into that frame of mind and set his team up that way, right? Where the whole attitude of "we go again" needs to come back into the team, and they really need to go out there and play like they are champions and play like they have something to prove and try and pull this result out. But the stakes are far higher for Liverpool, because Liverpool winning does not affect the City as much as Liverpool losing, pretty much rolling Liverpool out of the rest of the season with respect to a title challenge. So that's the level. I think the stakes are purely on Liverpool. After a long time, I think the last two seasons, Liverpool managed to put the exact same level of pressure on City, where every time they played Liverpool, they needed to churn out a result, or else it was either losing ground or either Liverpool catching up and getting closer to you. Liverpool need to play that way and put some pressure on City to at least, test that team a little.
And which should be a fascinating match, which of course will be the center of our attention in our next podcast, because we will look at this result and the others from the weekend and the status of this Premier League title race as it effectively enters sort of the final third of that title race, and a crucial month in the form of February. Quick prediction, Vishal, we have not done those in quite a while. What's going to happen on Sunday?
I think City win 1-0. City are not the same team who come and... and I think the evolution that I think even we called out, if you remember when they played against Man United, right, was the fact that City managed to match United man-to-man when it came to set up, right? So they weren't trying to outplay United. They tried to match United and get the result out against United. And I think that's the next level that Klopp has finally hit, right? He is okay playing, he's okay to manage a game instead of going and absolutely controlling a game. So I think City will come out there to manage this game. City will clearly identify the holes that they can go after, and they definitely know that they can run beyond the Liverpool defence and get beyond the Liverpool defence. And that's exactly what they're going to try and do, and is to try and play the ball around Liverpool and score those goals. I think that would be City winning 1-0.
All right. So we'll see if that that comes about, or...
I really hope I'm wrong.
Many of the teams can surprise us, and we'll talk about that in our next podcast. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at SendSoccer, and on any of the podcasting platforms that you use, you can find us and subscribe to our podcast. That's it for this episode. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
I will catch you next time.